All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're watching Oilers Nation Every Day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
You already know what time it is, everybody. Let's get into it with the lead. We got new speakers in the studio. They sound very good.
Tyler's very excited.
I am very excited. For those of you listening in on podcast form, I lifted a bottle of Pink Whitney vodka up into the shot during that edition of The Lead. Welcome into Oilers Nation Every Day. We are live from the Sports Closet studio and live on the Oilers Nation YouTube. And I hope you're all fired up. Today's one of the bigger guests we've gotten. Got our guy Ryan Whitney, the former Oiler, the former Duck, on an Oilers versus Ducks game day, which is kind of funny. We didn't realize that until about 10 minutes ago.
Perfect.
It was perfectly lined up, just like Jay and I's bets today.
Oh, yeah.
You bet the same thing?
I did. Before you texted me, I had it.
But I was first in the chat.
You were first in the chat.
We'll have our game day betting challenge a little bit later on.
I always love that I think the camera's in front of me this way, so I'm always looking this way. It's right there.
It's right there. Sherwood Ford Giant game day as well. Shout out to our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant. Not just the spot to get you in a new or used whip, but the spot that'll take care of you for good. Their service department for life. Their service department, 10 out of 10. All the little perks and features. You can't beat it. Like Sherbucks.
Sherbucks.
They got a new coffee machine like 4 months ago, too. We're due for a live show at Sherwood Ford.
At Sherwood Ford.
Yeah.
That's right. They did.
Yeah.
Because now
Doing out of the back of an F-150.
So we've talked about that. Because remember, our last show was entirely powered by an F-150 Lightning.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
Closer.
We have the power. Dackie is in day one of 10 Ev Watch. Maybe we'll have a little bit more on
game
that.
Five, bro.
Yesterday, Liam and I officially announced that this show has been converted to a Chris Tanev show, though.
Chris Tanev every day.
It's
Chris
Tanev every day.
It's Tanev every day.
All things Tanev.
Oiler fan says, track his plane. That is upsetting.
I mean, come on. If he had a plane, we could do a live stream.
Nah, no.
Buddy, that was some of the best content this network's ever pumped out.
Yeah, that was.
The Blue Jays today, guys, doing the Ohtani thing. Yeah, that was unreal. Special. They were drinking beers out of water guns.
They were like, oh, I love those guys.
If the Oilers get Chris Tanev, I will drink beer out of a water gun on this show.
I wanted to talk to Adam Seaborn about that day so bad.
I know, but I
feel like I couldn't.
That was a credible source for me.
Yo, you've asked him.
Oh, yeah. The first thing I asked him when I saw him. Like, dude, tell me how this broke down, because I know you're not a troll.
It's a tough one.
He's like, this guy's legit. And he told me that. So I ran with it. Fair enough. Of course, like I said, Sherwood Ford Giant game day. We got our game notes, all that stuff. Keys to victory for Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. We're going to do it all. But at 12:30, we're going to be joined by Ryan Whitney. He was off the Oilers bandwagon earlier in the year. He's trying to get back on, and there's no better spot for him to do it than this show, right?
Yeah, he is welcome to plead to everybody
like,
on that.
Like we have any sort of authority, but...
Oh. I like to think we have a voice.
You know, I have a feeling he and I think he said it recently like that he never stopped watching. He just like we all well and whatever. We're gonna talk to him. You've got some things you want to talk about. I know you're staring at the chat. I see someone's pairing the Dowd and Tanev connection, which I am willing to start evangelizing.
Dowd and what's the connection?
We should get both.
Oh, there's no actual connection, just that we should acquire.
I just made a connection.
I think we should acquire both too, but apparently Nick Dowd wants a first round pick and Tanev doesn't, which is backwards.
Banu news. It's 1.3 million. This is like the Barkley Goodrow.
But you can Nick find
Hagel section.
No, it is not Barkley Goodrow, Brandon Hagel.
You Nick don't Dowd know enough score, about Nick Dowd then.
Nick Dowd will score you 8 goals a year.
Yeah, but it's shutting down. He can shut down the top
okay,
pair
but,
of the
but then
team.
He's not Brandon Hagel, Barkley Goodrow.
It's indirect offense. If he can shut down the top pair, that makes the lineup, the matchup for the first line and the second line much easier, who can then go score all the goals.
Indirect offense. You can add that one to the list with things like positive regression and other great
indirect
hits.
Offense.
Indirect. Jay, I'm not buying
it's,
it.
It's adding to your second line by not adding to your second line. It's about making your second line's life
easier. I don't want to trust Nick Dowd to play 16, 17 minutes a game.
That's I don't foolish. Think Dowd's as good as that, but I no, also he's don't not. Think Goodrow is as good as you're making him seem either.
Barkley Goodrow?
Like when Tampa Bay acquired him, I think.
Yeah. Now, I mean, he's overpaid and whatever.
Nick Dowd, a $1.3 million. That is worth, that contract is worth something.
I mean, yeah, sure.
That's the reason why he's 8.
So if we got Dowd and Tanev, like that's nice. That's some that real is, nice work. And so more too. Realistic. Although I do want Toffoli and Tanev. The double T.
Toffoli and Tanev is a much better use of your assets.
I'm Buznevich now.
No. I don't know how you can afford it, Liam. No.
Stop it.
Why not? We talk about
stop it. I agree with you so much.
We talk about Konechny all the time and he's more expensive.
Well, Konechny is the ultimate prize. See, he bought last night.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yes. He's got the dog.
People are saying they have no interest in Dowd. I think people should have interest in Dowd. I think he's a big upgrade. I wouldn't pay a first round pick
for him. Well, you don't know what the market is. Maybe it's a second and a fourth.
If Washington were to keep 50% of that, I'm way more in on it.
God.
Because I'm a nerd. And
you're giving up a first.
Yeah, probably. Because they're keeping
it. 1.3 million. We can absorb that quite easily.
7 goals, 13 assists, 13 points, in 40 games for Nick Dowd this season. That is more than the Oilers' fourth line last game combined.
Last game?
The Oilers' fourth line last game was Janmark, Ryan, and Connor Brown.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, silver bullet.
All right.
To your depth.
It's a loaded show. It's a loaded show because we have a big guest coming up, but it's also a Sherwood Ford Giant game day. So I want to try to keep this thing on the rails a little bit for the first half of the show. And since it is a Sherwood Ford Giant game day, that means we have a giant question for the day. Yesterday at Oilers practice, they skated with some new defensive pairings. It's really the first time in 11 months we've seen them mix up their defensive pairings basically since they got Ekholm, and boy did they ever mix
them
up.
One toe drag and you get promoted to the top pairing, eh?
Nurse and Vinny, Ekholm and CeCe, Kulak and Bouchard. Here is what I like. It's Vinny up to the top pair. Why not give him a look? If you got it, give it a shot.
I think it's a short shelf life. It's you got to set up Vinny for success. He is playing better. I kind of like the twin tower Bash brother approach, but I don't know how sustainable it is. And the other thing we're going to find out is like separating Bush from Ekholm. Like Bush and Ekholm work really well together, and defensively they are fine. Kulak, Bouchard, that could be a concern. But yeah, they're the third pair, so they're you know defensive zone starts will probably be limited. And that's okay.
Original Pozar was in and says the coach was very non-committal on this after practice. And yes, I totally understand that. I also don't think you really just do it at practice for shits and giggles. Like if you're doing it at a practice, there's an element or a part of you that wants to try them in the game.
It's really where you experiment too. So,
but
this here's the spot to experiment.
Yeah. Here's what I don't like about this one. I don't like breaking up Ekholm Bouchard. Like, I really don't like it. I would have gone CC Kulak on the third pair and just done that.
Ekholm is covering up for Bouchard's defensive side or is unlocking Bouchard's defensive ability. Like, That is a real nice pairing, right?
Yeah. Now. So I like Vinny up there, but to me, messing with the Bouchard Ekholm pairing is a little bit throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
But maybe it's because we're playing Anaheim.
I think it's interesting. I think another layer to it is how good everybody always plays with Brett Kulak. Remember when Tyson Berry and Kulak were pairing in the playoffs that one year? They were really good. Mm-hmm. Vinny's had a lot of sustained success with him. Like Bouchard's
been great with Ekholm. It's not like Bouchard needs to improve by with Kulak.
But I think it shows too, like a level of commitment to Bouchard, I guess you could say too. It's like you can play without Ekholm as well.
Yeah.
One day Ekholm's not going to be on this team and Bouchard's going to have to do it anyway, right? So I'm not saying that happens to happen today, but
so dire.
We're a long ways away from that.
I think it's interesting. No, they haven't changed these pairings basically all season. And now finally we're having CeCe away from Nurse. Like, I think it's going to really show what Nurse is capable of as well.
Well, maybe this is to see what CeCe's all about, because like they have to make a decision, right? Like if Tan is available, they have to make a decision.
Do you think it's also a layer two of like maybe CeCe isn't tradable? If they're like messing this up so much, where like we have to find a way to make this guy work, like if nobody wants him.
Greg says they were just trying some shit because they had an extra day. Let's be real. I think it was more than that, honestly. I don't think you just do that for funsies. So,
like, you can do it for like one guy, maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Did they just mess up the second line for fun?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure Kane and Perry are going to play with Draisaitl on the second line tonight. You don't waste a day of practice.
So, hey, there's a little part two of the Sherwood Ford Giant question. We just dissected the D pairings a little bit. What do we think of the new look top six for the Edmonton Oilers? Corey Perry getting a look with Leon Draisaitl and Evander Kane. There is a slow boots line, and then this would maybe be the no boots line. Like, they aren't going to move that well.
But, like, Draisaitl's game isn't speed. He slows the game down.
But we've seen time and time again, Jay, that he works better with speed on his side.
True. But now he's got Corey Perry. Like, Corey Perry is still a very smart and talented hockey player. May not move at that speed. I think it's a worthy experiment. What I'm really interested in seeing is Kane and Perry together on a line.
Yeah.
That is interesting. If Leon has more space, that's a good thing. And if there's two guys that can create space together, it would be Kane and Perry.
I liked what Puzar said, the pissy line.
Very pissy.
Pissy. One thing I like about this line is what I saw from Corey Perry last game, where he allowed, and it's obviously very different dynamics, but he allowed McLeod and Holloway to do all the work, and he just got into scoring lanes. Now he has an elite passer in Leon Draisaitl. Like, if he gets those scoring areas and where he can shoot and find those spots, like, he's probably going to find some success there. Like, you don't lose that intelligence, right? There's no doubt that Corey Perry can't skate as well as he used to.
But speed was never part of his game anyway.
No. So being able to find those spots, I'm very intrigued to see how that works, because like Kane's a goal scorer. There's no doubt about that, but he's more of a power forward, I guess you could say, than a goal scorer. Like, he's been known to score goals.
So is Kane, 30 goal pace last year.
Well, Perry had 50 goals once. I just mean like the instincts are maybe a little bit different to each other.
I think it's a worthy experiment sole reason, because that third line, they may as well all have wings on their back.
Oh,
they can fly.
There's the no boots line and then the all boots line.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Jersey flappers.
It's exactly the Medanos.
I hope they're not the cardio line again. This boy, oh boy, that was a waste of time.
Yeah, it was really early. But I think all three of those guys are in way different spots than they were in November.
They've all grown, for sure.
Yeah.
Bogle's going to be a great top six player in the playoffs this time.
Oh, all right, let's get into some of your takes in the YouTube chat, which is brought to you by Charm Diamond Centers, proudly Canadian-owned and operated since 1972. Check out their large selection of Canadian lab-grown diamonds, mine diamonds, and you don't pay until 2025 with their instant in-store financing, OAC. For more information, go to charmdiamondcenters.com. What do we got going on here? TC, cardio line is such a good name. It is. It really is.
I agree. If someone says Kane is not slow, I'm like, well, he's not like the fastest, but he's not the, like, he's kind of
He's not probably dynamic.
He's average or above average speed.
Yeah, like I don't think he's
going to be. Not above average. You cannot call him above average.
Well, tell me what average is.
Kane.
On the Oilers?
Well, Kane, you know what? Average is fine.
I think he's
slow. Yeah, I mean, hey, good player. I'm not saying he's not, but I'm just.
Yeah.
Foot speed with that those other two, I worry about their ability to get going.
Kane and Hyman. Everybody else. I think Hyman's faster than Kane.
Hyman's faster. Hyman, but I think, is above average. Hyman will go and beat a defender kind of wide with his speed. Like, Kane's got to have body positioning at an angle, and then he can work his way past someone. Evander Kane's never just flipping the switch and turning on the burner.
You know,
Zach Hyman will.
I think it's a mindset. I bet you they play the game and think the game different. Like,
yeah.
Like, Hyman's motor never turns off. If Kane had that mentality, maybe I think he has the ability to do what Hyman does.
Milan Lucic comments today.
Lance is in and says, who needs to get going when you're just banging everybody? Pause.
Hey, Charles Barkley.
Unnecessarily horny. Archer, speed is a mindset. Is that what you're saying, Jay?
Well, in some applications, yes. Some people don't like, Leon actually isn't that slow. Like when he gets the gazelle legs going, like he can move. He just chooses not to. Mindset. Not everyone has that option. Some people
Vinny won the fastest skater event at the skills comp for the Oilers. Mindset.
Speed is a mindset.
All right.
Should you have the ability?
Slow is fast.
Yep. Well, that's a different slow is fast. Yep. Sorry. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Always remember that.
Mish is in and says, why isn't Gagne getting the nod over Brown? I think it's because
Brown's buzzing.
Brown's killing penalties. He's getting shots on goal.
Hey, Greg Solowski, I don't know how old you are. I'm 43. I will take a run at you.
Greg is one of Liam's best buddies.
All right. Is he fit? I will definitely destroy you on skates.
Greg,
and you can, yeah, I'll take you in a foot race. Let's go. And a home run derby.
I'm faster than Greg.
But why is
on foot?
On the pitch?
Yeah. But I run out of gas way quicker.
That's such a good flex to have to say I could beat you in a home run derby. You can.
You got the proof, yeah.
Grade 6, I was the fastest kid in school. 100 meter and 800 meter.
I set the 400 meter. 200 meter, sorry. Track record at Sherwood Heights in grade 9.
With the what 100 meter?
That's
400 impressive. Meter.
400 meter. Wow.
Now I'm going like Greg Ed said, Al Bundy and going.
Speed is a mindset.
What's that?
Greg said speed is a mindset.
Well, yeah.
I won high jump in junior high.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's big.
Did you do the Fallsbury flop?
That's the one where you go. That's one where you go back. And I won on like the chintziest technicality. Like I hit the bar and it bounced up and then was somehow just hitting the little thing long enough, like get off the mat.
Joey, I did go to French immersion. So maybe it was a smaller talent pool.
You went to French immersion?
Oui.
You've lost it totally though, right?
I used to be able to speak fluent French.
Yeah, that's
my grandma, like, had none of her kin could speak, like she was French. No one could speak French to her. So they put me in French immersion like the last hope. So I could go home for Christmas and we'd speak French at Christmas. Sorry, Noel.
DP called this a stupid radio show. DP, it is on the internet. California Oilers fan, track and field every day. I like that as well. We're never on our best behavior when we have a big guest coming up. That's kind of the way it rolls. All right, we're going to keep moving along. Shout out to everyone in the YouTube chat for our
friends. I'm not petite, JLM. I know what that means. I'm a little too grow right now. I need to get petite.
Phillip says, hopefully Witt isn't listening. Yeah, I'm with you, man. Okay, let's dial this back into the hockey. Get to our game notes for today, brought to you by Seagram's Whiskey. Jay, you're a Seagram's man.
Oh, buddy.
Unbelievably smart.
After last week,
artfully blended.
Seagram's Whiskey for life.
I'm a bit disappointed we just allowed them to like not be open until we were about to leave.
You know, shame on us.
Like, that was a disappointment.
We could have drank that all week. We decided to preserve all the product till the last day.
That was a mistake on a couple.
I've got a few regrets in life, and that would be one of them.
Well, if anyone's coming home from Ontario, coming back to Alberta, let us know. We need some Seagrams. Anyways, game notes for tonight. The Oilers have absolutely scorched the Anaheim Ducks so far this season. Not only do they lead them in every major statistical category, as you're about to see, AB, give me that board. Let's see how big the difference is. Almost a full goal per game better in terms of scoring. Almost a full goal per game better in terms of goals against. Their power play is 10% better. Their PK is almost 5% better. It's just the Oilers are flat out better. And in their two meetings this season, that is exactly how the script has gone. The Oilers have outscored the Anaheim Ducks 15-4 in the two head-to-head games so far this season. It's hilarious. And this is a matchup the Oilers haven't just dominated this season. In their last 10 meetings, the Oilers are 8-1-1, and the score in those games is 55-24. For those of you who aren't great at math, that's 5.5 to 2.4, an average score per game between these two sides. It's just dominance, man. The Oilers roll the Ducks.
Yeah, it's Ducks suck. Like, what else to say? Like, we should go and absolutely mop the floor with them if we, especially play like we did in Vegas. If we play like we do in Vegas, like we will have like an 800 win percentage for the rest of the year.
That loss was disappointing.
But that was the most entertaining loss I've ever watched in my life.
It was very good.
That was a good game.
What was the question? My thoughts on Anaheim. Sorry, I was checking if they had a starting confirmed goalie. Someone was asking. Unconfirmed starter tonight so far.
So maybe Dostal, maybe Gibson.
Could be the one.
Who knows?
Who cares? This team isn't the best, is it? I'm excited to see Leo Carlson because I don't think he's played in either of the games we've played against.
I don't think he has either.
True. Yeah, no, I'm excited for him because he's an emerging weapon.
Yeah, he's really good. But yeah, like not a lot of guys on this team that are great, is it? Like they got some guys. Like I like Troy Terry. Yeah. Like Mason McTavish, but
Strom's good. Like they got bodies. Adam Henrique's a potential deadline guy.
Why playing on the wing?
I don't know. Who knows?
I don't like that.
Who did they trade Drysdale for from Philly?
Katagoche.
But he's not playing.
He's still in college. Okay. Yeah. They have good young players, man. I mean, part of the reason they could trade a guy like Jamie Drysdale is because Pavel Minchikov, Jackson Lacombe, they got Olin Zellweger. Like, Liam, you know your prospects better than me. They have a lot of legit studs in that system still on the blue line, and a lot of them are starting to make their way to the NHL.
Yeah, they got a lot of good players. They've done well drafting outside of the first round. Like Olin Zellweger was a second round pick and he won the WHL Defenseman of the year after the draft and was like Canada's best defenseman of the world juniors. They've done a good job and I don't like how good of a job they've done in a draft considering their Oilers division, but Mason McTavish is going to be a stud. He is unreal. Mm-hmm. Like yep. I love the way they've been able to draft too and just like form an identity. They clearly want to be a difficult team to play against like they were back in the day when Getzlaf and Perry running the show down there. And now you look at the guys they've drafted, the McTavish and Carlson.
Wait till they trade Zegras and what they get for that.
Yeah, that is going
to be will happen.
Some trade.
Oh, I keep hearing Montreal too. Like Habs fans are clamoring for him.
What?
Really?
Reunite him and Caulfield.
Yeah.
All right. We had a comment in there I wanted to get to. Who was it? I like giving credit. I was the McMahon 98. I haven't seen the boys light up a team in a while, as I recall. Good bet they'll do it tonight. Do you want to take a stab at when the last time the Oilers scored more than four goals in a game?
Anaheim Ducks, New Year's Eve.
Incorrect.
Oh, damn it.
Oh.
Four or more?
More than four.
We won like a 5-1-1 or something. It was still an under. I don't know. I can't remember.
They scored four against Nashville, four against Columbus, four against Seattle, four against Toronto. But the last time they got more than four would have been the first game of January, a 5-2 win over the Philadelphia Flyers.
That's right. Really?
So
that was a tight game.
The Oilers have not had an offensive explosion, as Mr. McMahon said. It's been a minute, and I kind of like betting on tonight them doing that. I think this could be a 6 or 7 spot.
Yeah, I bet you they're pissed. Well, you saw Connor. He was pissed after that. Yep. That Golden Knights game, and it's not for a lack of effort. So I feel like they're just going to come and make that statement because it's so sad. Like you watch the standing, you saw W16, and then just like that, it's L1. You're like, oh God,
life comes at you fast.
I know. So like, I bet you that loss felt like they're on a 4-game losing streak. So I feel like they're just going to come pedal to the metal.
Yeah. Okay. One more quick game note here, just on the lines of offensive explosion and the potential for it. It's how good the Oilers' big guns have been against the Anaheim Ducks. In those 10 games where the Oilers are 8-1-1, Connor McDavid has 24 points, 2.4 points per game, 17 of those 24 points coming at 5-on-5. He's almost averaging 2 5-on-5 points per game against the Anaheim Ducks. Leon Draisaitl has 12 goals in his last 10 games against the Anaheim Ducks. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is the only other Oiler point per game or better, 12 points in 10 games. They eat the Anaheim Ducks for breakfast.
Oh, you forgot the biggest stat of all, though.
I clearly did.
In the last two games that the Oilers have played Anaheim, one player has had a 5-point game. Connor McDavid had one and Warren Fogle had one.
Hey, oh, that's a good number.
There you go.
Warren Fogle, well, 5+ points.
I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him.
Connor Brown.
Corey Perry.
Ooh. Yeah, Corey Perry for sure.
Drysdale 5-point game.
The other thing we forget is Connor always seems to score like a real sexy goal against the Ducks.
Yeah.
Whether it be like one of those sneaky five holes or off the helmets.
Remember that one, like, I want to say it was like that 4 years ago, where he like fell to a knee and then got back up on Gibson. And you're right, just like shuffled in tight and then flipped it upstairs. Yeah, that was
like
nasty.
Within two, he's like 2 inches out from like, it's amazing.
The history between these two teams is quite underrated in a way, right? Like, because didn't the Oilers beat them on the way to the cup final in 06, right?
Yep.
Then obviously 2017 4-1. Happened.
Yeah.
Drysdale had his second 50-goal season against them. There's just like a lot of moments throughout the years, and it always seems to be like Anaheim and Edmonton.
Mm. Yeah.
It's interesting.
All right. There you go. Our game notes for Kindred Seagram's Spirit. VO Select Whiskey, artfully blended, impeccably crafted. We'll be back in a second, but first a word from our friends at Seagram's.
My family's very own whiskey. Barrel-aged and set apart. Marked with VO, artfully blended, impeccably crafted. As a wedding gift to my son, for the bride and groom. And now, over a century later, from our very own family to yours, a legacy rooted in whiskey. Seagram's VO, growing deeper, reaching out, raising a glass to your legacy. Seagram's VO, make it your very own.
Welcome back into the program, Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of the show. Going to be relying on you, the listener, a little bit today. If you got a mock trade you want us to handle at some point on the show, we're going to be doing that a little bit later on. So feel free to drop them in to the YouTube chat. But since we're talking about the game, we just went through the matchup against the Ducks. Let's do our giant keys to victory for Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. It is opening up in spring of 2024, and it is going to be your spot for everything Yamaha right in the heart of Sherwood Park, Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. Anyone got a key to victory? Who wants to go first?
I'll take this one.
Okay. Set the bar.
I'm just going to say the blue line plays well. And I know that's kind of a simple thing to say against a team where you've scored 7 goals against and then 8 goals against, but like, the new look for them tonight. So I'm very curious to see how they do. So form chemistry early, I guess.
Form chemistry early.
There you go.
All right. Jay, key to victory.
Well, I think the offense is going to show up tonight. I think Calvin Pickard is going to do what he does best. Play one game every 15 days and do a really good job and just make everyone's job in front of them a lot easier. Big picker guy right now.
I'm going to say score.
Just pedal the metal.
Calvin Pickard can play like shit.
No, I don't want to. I like Calvin Pickard.
I'm just saying, like, I believe in him.
Like, I know, like, as we see the bets, like, we're betting on, like, a lot of offense. I'm going to take alternative puck line, probably 3.5.
I chase the juice.
A Friday night.
Like, I'm going to go. I'm going to get a little silly with 3.5, but you know, I've got my other bet that I'm really leaning into on that I think's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get to that.
That's why I didn't say it is. Yeah, tease.
Betway game day betting challenge. My key to victory is just going to be score a shitload of goals. It's a Friday night. I'm going to be sitting back with some buddies, having a few drinks. Like, I want to sit and watch the Oilers score 7 goals tonight. I think that would be fun.
It's a nice casual Friday, you know?
Yeah. And then, you know what? You're going to have to dial it back in because it's back-to-back games in California as well. So,
yeah,
tomorrow's
first. Is this the first game with the new coach? Because they
for LA,
it for is. LA? It yeah, will, this yeah. will be interesting. So, are they going to get the dead coach bounce?
They might.
It's
although Gregor said something, and I really don't want to misquote him, but I think he said it on the rundown about how there are numbers to that say, like, when you just bring an assistant up, you don't get as big of a dead coach bounce or new coach bounce.
Oh yeah. Jonas Hiller has no coaching history.
Jim Hiller.
Isn't this not actually Yim?
I believe Yim and Yim. Jonas. Oh. The Hillers.
Jesus. I know that was bad. That was really bad. But you keep saying Jonas and then I blank on what his actual name is. And like, it's like a weird block. I can't get over it.
His name is Hiller though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Jim Hiller.
Yimothy Hiller.
Jay Hiller. Jonas Hiller.
New coach.
Weird that he went to the Kings after Anaheim, though.
Stop doing that.
In Calgary. Probably back to Switzerland.
Strange.
You know, it was so funny. My buddy, I've met Jonas Hiller a few times, especially when we played with the Ducks. And he bought a new Mustang, which for us, like, whatever. Like they're great cars, right? But, like, it's a Mustang, right? Yeah. Like, it's... like
shout out to Kieran Ford.
Sure. That's where you go get a Mustang. He's like, no, I bought this because, like, I import this to Switzerland. And, like, this is, like, viewed as a Ferrari.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
I'm like, that was interesting.
That's legit. All right.
For our Swiss listeners, Kieran Ford, get your Mustang.
Highly doubt
your Ferrari.
All right.
Probably Jonas.
All right, boys. We have a big guest joining us today on the show.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh, I should have cracked this bottle before. My hands are so clammy now.
Why do you get nervous?
This is terribly embarrassing.
Nice one.
You hide it well for a guy who's so nervous.
Yeah, I know.
Would you like me to open it?
Yeah, actually, you might. This is really on there. Good seal, I guess.
Hopefully I can do it. This is going to be pretty...
I'm scared. I don't want to do it because now my hands are clammy because you said your hands are clammy.
This is not good.
Well, this is off to just an absolutely tremendous start. So what I'll do while you're doing that is an ad read. The guest line is brought to you by our friends at Star Mechanical. No, none of us can get it. Star Mechanical, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. Oh. You can find out more about what makes them the best at starmechanical.ca. I actually think it's on brand, AB. Let's bring in our big guest while this nonsense fucking goes on. Ryan Whitney from Spittin' Chicklets, the former Oiler.
Oh, my God. If that thing didn't get off by the time this started, I was going to puke. That was tough advertising for my Pink Whitney.
We are not on the all-hands team, Whit. Sorry about that.
Tyler? You bringing it, representing it right in the middle. I got the lid on. I respect that more than you could ever know, so I appreciate it.
It's a fresh bottle. All right, Whit, the people want to know, you did the little bit with Hunter at the All-Star game. You were off the bandwagon for a bit. Is Whit back? We're going to open our doors up to you. Are you back?
I never left. All right, here's the thing. I was disgusted. I left social media 100%. And I was going to be done. Am I a bandwagon guy? Yeah, probably. I played for the team. I deserve the right to do it, whatever I want. Now, I understand all you loyal Oiler fans. You can not like me. You can hate me. It's okay. I just needed a little bit of a break. But then when I went to tempt the break, I couldn't even do it. I have not watched every single game, all 60 or 65 minutes this year, but I've at least seen a period, if not more, of every single game. I couldn't quit them and I couldn't start tweeting about them once the run started. And then, of course, I took the video with Hunter. I did the video with Hunter. We were all buddy-buddy, and then they go out and lose. So that was a guarantee. So it's a lot of fear in my mind that I'm now back and they go on a complete dumpster fire of a run, but it's not going to happen. And the best part is they get to go into Anaheim tonight. They haven't lost in Anaheim in about 9 years, it feels like. They're going to wax them, knock on wood, yeah, and I'm back.
It's, it's,
I mean, how could I not be back, guys? Look at this team. Look at where we're going. Look what's going to happen at the deadline. It's just all excitement all day long in Oil Nation.
And again, I didn't want to bring you on here to just shit on you. So like, we were all down bad in November. And I think we have the one tweet I had, which was just an all-time terrible one. When they lost to San Jose, and I said, watching the McDavid era unravel is absolutely soul-crushing. Like, we forget, maybe because of the 16-game run, just how dark things looked early on in November. Like, it was really, really bad, and it was hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
It was disgusting, and with it made it even worse because, like, this year, just all the expectations, so many people picked them to win the cup or at least get to the cup final, and then just to start like that, it's like, what is happening? It was beyond gross and disappointment. It was just like, it was sad. It was like very sad. Like, your tweet made sense. Like, how is this happening? This year of all years, with everything we've looked forward to all offseason, all these guys, Connor Brown coming in. That's another story. And then this is what we're watching. It was incredible. I actually saw the interview that Leon and Connor did. I think it was with Elliot at the All-Star game. And I think Leon's like, it was like we didn't know how to play hockey anymore. Now, the one thing was that I was also thinking about the entire time was all the advanced stats. I'm not great at all those. I'm not like, I believe them. I'm not like super into them in terms of following. But all those said it was going to turn around. And it was goaltending, and it was literally the perfect storm. But the whole way it went down as it started the year, like if a run went like that at the end of November or, you know, early February, it's like, it's one thing. But to start the year, I mean, I couldn't believe it. And then being on the East Coast, and granted, it's only like 9:30 most times when they start, but still, I got two young kids and another on the way. I'm like, what am I doing staying up watching this team? I guess they're absolute shit. Oh, can we swear on this? I'm sorry.
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, it was just the San Jose loss was like, it was soul crushing. That's the perfect way to describe it via your tweet.
I think that's the lowest I've ever felt.
Oh, like so many people bet their lives like that wasn't going to happen. And then, and also in the back of their mind, like, if it does happen, how am I going to be? And everyone was in shambles. Like, you could hear the tear in everyone's mind.
What? At least we weren't Gregor. At least we weren't Gregor with that haircut he had to get out.
You know what? Awesome. Abe, like, have you seen it? It looks ridiculous. And I'm for sticking with it.
He had to. Now we've got a buddy. I got a good friend in Edmonton named Brad Tuchek. I like calling him Half Wall.
I know, dude.
He wrote me after. He's like, I seriously want to cry. It wasn't even anger I felt like with the fan base. It was true sadness. It was like, what? Nobody could say a word.
Yeah.
But it's long in the past now, guys.
I think for a lot of us, it was a terrible throwback PTSD to like the decade of darkness where it's November and the team's out of it. I wanted to tie that in to your time with the team. And the question I had, like, again, November, you lose to the Sharks and it's like, oh, is our season done? When you were on the team and you had those three full seasons when you started, at least with the Oil, what was the earliest in the year you ever sat there and were like, well, we're probably fucked this year. Like, it's not our year.
Man, I don't remember like an exact date, maybe the first day of camp. I mean, ask the fan base, ask some of the guys on the team, like you're going in and you're giving it your all, but you're kind of looking around like, there's not much here, right? And like that's when Hemsky was playing great and Penner had some huge years, but then like the depth wise and it was a disaster. But the hardest thing in the world is being a player in mid-November, early December, like knowing you're out of it. And obviously you're playing for pride and you're getting paid a lot of money and you're in the NHL, dream come true. But I mean, you're completely overmatched 9 out of every 10 games, and it can be exhausting. And that was what, like, I was so bitter there about like my health, and then the fans couldn't stand me. And I mean, I was the one at fault, but it's one thing to be on a real bad team in Dallas or Anaheim or somewhere, Tampa. But, you know, those Edmonton winners, guys, I mean, when you're winning, nothing's better. I imagine I never experienced it, but when you're losing, and you're plugging your car in, making sure it starts the next morning. I mean, those are some dark days.
It's already dark outside, but then it's dark emotionally. Yeah. I got an anecdote to share with you that's probably in a good light with your time in Edmonton that helped benefit me. I think it's your second season. You're just like the Apple factory and you're just stacking up assists. And we're at a bar, me and my buddies, and I'm like, tonight's the game, Witt scores. And everyone's like, fuck you. I'm like, okay, let's do it. I'll put money on the table. Give me odds. Like, some sucker gave me 5-1 odds. And I think it was against LA.
It was in San Jose.
Pardon me?
It was San Jose.
It was San Jose. And you threw a puck on net and it goes in and they give it to Penner. Right. And then later, after the game, they flipped it back to you. And I was like, I fucking knew it. Some guy shows up in my office with $100 in an envelope. So I want to say thank you, Witt. You made my night, especially during the decade of darkness. That was something that I'll always remember.
I appreciate that. I do remember. I was like, Penn, did you touch that? He's like, no. I was like, thank God. But then they were late on switching. I'm like, I got to get one on the board here. This is ridiculous. It was getting out of control. But, what was I going to say about that game? Yeah, that was actually when I was feeling great. And then like the ankle gave out. It's got to be like a week later, 2 weeks later. But that was actually the best I ever felt playing in the NHL. Even the one big year I had, like that year I was feeling really healthy and I was playing a ton. Granted, you know, we didn't have a lot of D, but at the same time, like I was like, oh my God, I kind of found my game again. And then boom, it all went to shit with the ankle. But you're saying the sucker gave you 5-1 odds. I was probably like 15, maybe 20-1 to score if you looked on the Vegas line. So in the end, he probably got pretty solid odds against you.
I was new to sports betting at the time. Now I understand odds. So yeah, maybe I should have gone back and reapply that, but I didn't know enough. So maybe I was a sucker, but I'm the one that got the hundies. So that's all that matters.
Yeah, it was a seeing eye muffin from the point that just was about this high off the ice that ended up finding its way in.
I remember the replay. I'm like, fucking Penner didn't touch it, but I'm like, whatever. And I woke up next morning, score correction. You got the goal. I was like, fuck yeah.
Witt, you mentioned part of the excitement right now with this team is just the buildup to the deadline. Kind of what are they going to do? But one piece they've already now brought in the last couple of weeks is Corey Perry, a guy you would have been teammates with back in Anaheim, the Worm. Give us a little insight into the kind of player. I think we know what Corey Perry is at this point, but the kind of teammate, the kind of locker room guy they've brought in here with Perry.
Pretty quiet guy in the locker room. What I remember about him off the ice is that he was just the most superstitious person I ever played with, even including Sid. Maybe they're kind of on the same level, but up to the minute pregame, Perry is doing or was doing the exact same thing. I'm talking like when the shin pad goes on, when he takes a bite of the protein bar, when he walks up to get a drink. Like, it was just incredible that it's kind of exhausting, I would imagine. I was never really that into the superstitions, but he was always so dialed in pregame in terms of what he was doing, when he was doing it to get ready to play. And then on the ice, I mean, we're talking about the kind of the perfect addition, playoff type player, can play up and down the lineup. Ideally, I would say right now, kind of, you know, a little on the slower end, we could say without not making any sense. I mean, I'm not making any sense what I say, but no foot speed, but around the net, incredible patience. He is so dirty on the ice. Like, he's just such a worm. Like, he'll spear you, he'll stick you. He'll just piss off the other team so much that it's so great to have him on your side. And just having won a Stanley Cup, all the awards he's won, MVP, Rocket Richard. Like, this is a guy who's been not only as a Stanley Cup champion, but to other cup finals. That this is the perfect addition, right? This is a guy who's been there, done that, just what they need, a little more experience in the playoffs, and somebody that younger guys can lean on. I mean, you're going into the playoffs, you know, you're down 3-2 in a series. You need somebody to be able to speak to the team and talk about what it takes to come back and be ready to play in playoff games. He's seen it all. So I love that move.
So Jay Hare has a bit of an idea. But one day, God,
you're gonna love this one.
I'll say it.
Yeah, you set the stage, and Witt, have an open mind here.
Like, guys, I'm taking a call. I'm taking a call later from Jeff Jackson, and he said he has an idea for me too. So I'm gonna have to decide one of the two.
Well, I think if you tell Jeff Jackson this one, he might be on board with it. But could you ever see a scenario where Sidney Crosby doesn't play for the Pittsburgh Penguins?
I was talking to Biz about this the other day. It was in Toronto. I just feel like he's so loyal to Pittsburgh, and he's, I don't want to say adamant, but he's probably, you know, very, confident in the fact that he can end up being like a one franchise player. I mean, and the fact that Mario did it, I think that definitely holds a little bit of weight in terms of like Mario did it, was one of the best of all time, arguably the best player of all time. Sid already has more cups than he did in Pittsburgh. Now, the other side of it is the Penguins are headed towards darkness, right? Like they're going to be, when he's done, horrendous. They have no prospects. They don't have many draft picks. It's like, who knows if Gensel's going to be there? Is he willing to kind of finish off his career on a bottom feeding trash team? As a fan, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. But I also got to respect if he ends up being like, no, I'm a Pittsburgh Penguin now and forever. I mean, you think of Lemieux, you think of Yzerman. Obviously, Sakic was a part of the Quebec Nordiques, but it was that franchise. And so, like, truly legendary players, I think there's a little bit extra something special when it's just one team the whole time. I just personally would love to see him end up going to a contender and chasing down another cup, because I don't think it's a stretch to say that Pittsburgh isn't going to get another one.
And that's my angle. It's like what, like, yeah, I get the one team thing, but now kick that to the trash. It's the legacy piece. Like, Gretzky has four cups. Does Sid want to have five? Like, what motivates this guy? Like, yeah, there's the loyalty thing, and like, it's a beautiful story, but like, he leaves the team now and then goes and tries to chase two more cups. Still getting the statue, still always going to be connected to Pittsburgh folklore for being loyal and doing all that stuff. We're talking now like, well, who knows? Sid's a machine. Like, he might play for four more years. Who knows?
Oh, I think easily we got three more.
Yeah. So like that's what I focus on.
I agree. I'm and like the one thing that comes to everyone's mind is Colorado, just the MacKinnon and the Nova Scotia connection. And I think most fans would love to see him somewhere else at one point, but it's just like such an individual's opinion. If he's like, no, I really don't care. Like, I just want to be a Penguin forever. And you're right. Like, there is nothing that the Penguins wouldn't do for him at the end if he ended up moving on, right? Like the statue, everything. He goes in the Hall of Fame. He's thought of as a Penguin forever. But personally, me, I just want to see him in the playoffs. I want to see him hunting down cups. I want to see him in the chase, playing into the late spring, early summer. And I hope in the end, in maybe 2 years, he's somewhere else giving it a go. Because just to see him in another cup final, it would be incredible. Like, not only for like some, you know, guys like us in the media and are talking about the game, but for a regular old sports fan to see Sidney Crosby at 39 or 40 years old out there, still giving it, still one of the top players. It would be incredible. Right now, if I had to guess though, I lean towards him being a Penguin forever.
Well, you got a seed to plant when you talk to Jeff Jackson later that he should take a run at Crosby.
I'm sure he's never thought of that one, but I'll put it right into his head.
Taking off maybe whatever hat that was and putting on a more realistic hat. What do you want to see the Oil do at the deadline here? What do they need?
All right. So this whole CC debate within Oilers Nation, like, let me ask you, do you guys want to see a replacement for Cody Ceci?
So my take on it is I'm down to replace CeCe if it's a substantially better defenseman. Like this whole like, oh, go get Sean Walker because he's this much better than CeCe. You don't mess with the chemistry to get this much better. If there's a right shot Ekholm-like ad, do it. If not, go with what you got.
I agree with that. And I think there's a lot to be said about chemistry and this team from everything I've heard. And obviously they're on this incredible run. Like, you forget before the 16 game win streak, there was an 8-game win streak. Like, there's just been great hockey since that disaster and since Knobloch came in. So all of a sudden, like, a guy who's close with everyone that everyone gets along with, it's like, all right, if you're bringing someone in because you're just sick of watching CeCe just because you think this guy's a little bit better, that doesn't make sense to me. Tanev, no doubt. I mean, that's a warrior. That guy, everything you look for in a playoff style defenseman, he has. But I also think at times, like, CeCe could play well. And I'm not somebody that looks at it like, this guy is an absolute liability every single time he gets on the ice. No, I mean, look at some of the games and some of the rough patches that Nurse went through last year, or even the year before. I mean, he's turned around, obviously a better skater and a better overall player by a long shot, but I also looked to up front, right? Like, Like, look at Tarasenko, man. Like, imagine just throwing him into this lineup. I mean, I read something earlier. Like, what if like Eberle went back there? I mean, that's a guy. I don't hate that idea at all. It's just about depth, right? So now that you have like Holloway looking this good, McLeod all of a sudden, and with his speed, like it makes sense that he's reached this next level, because you watch him at times before when he really wasn't there quite yet. Like, there's so much potential here. I mean, there's actual times, and call me crazy, he's flying up the ice. Like, he's so fast. It's like, is that McDavid? Just for a split second, you wonder. But they now have these guys stepping up, and like, I love Fogel. He's a UFA, right? So I don't know where he's going to end up, but if you just look at depth, you look at Vegas and how they did it. It's four lines. It's having a line caught out there. It's having your fourth line in quotations caught out there against the other team's first line. You're not panicking, right? So it's anyone that could go in and help. But if you look at like one more scorer, one more guy, Tarasenko is the one that comes to mind, only because like his shot and like who would be distributing him the puck. It's like, that's a guy who I think could really fit in. I know things weren't amazing in New York, and obviously Ottawa is a dumpster fire, but they're all in, right? Everyone wants them to be all in. I think they're pretty open about being all in. And there's worries that like Leon after this year is like, I'm all set with whatever offer you come with July 1st, but you can't think of anything else besides this season. So on D, yeah, it'd be great to have Tanev. It'd be great to bring in somebody else, but I'm not dying to make a big move, have to trade pieces for Sean Walker. I it's no disrespect to him at all.
What about on up front? Like, I know you're mentioning Tarasenko, but
Toffoli, if the Devils sell, he'd be a dog.
Yeah, so Toffoli, I think the Devils are crazy to, like, I don't really understand. You bring him in and all of a sudden he's gone. That's another guy, though. Yes, like anyone who can score and play responsible hockey, I'm down with. You throw out all these different names, I'm down with them. But you got to look at like what it takes. Like, at this point with this lineup, like, you're not going to give anything up that's made a real big contribution so far this year, in my mind. And the goaltending aspect, I'm not actually like thinking about, oh, goaltending. Like, Skinner's looked great, Picard looks nice. It's not about goaltending for me. It's just like depth, and whether that depth guy is a big name like we're talking or a smaller piece, there just needs to be something coming in. Something as a team, when you're getting ready to go on a run and you have all this excitement around your team in the city, bringing something in, that's just like a, it's a pump in the veins of the players. All of a sudden they're like, yes, it's another piece. Like, I remember in Pittsburgh when Hossa came in, we lost a lot, and Colby Armstrong was a big part of that team, and Eric Christensen. But in the end, you're like, oh, we brought a guy in. We brought an absolute stud in. And it's just more like, we're all in, the GM's all in, now we go.
All right, we're going to wrap this up. I promised the YouTube chat I would float one of their questions your way. The YouTube Q&A for great clips, more than 4,400 hair salons across Canada and the U.S. It's the world's largest hair salon brand and official hair salon of the NHL. Great clips. It's going to be great. Our boy Tyler Mulick-Witt wants to go back to your time in Edmonton, and he wants to know, when you were here, were you a donair man?
That's No, not a donair man. Did Never you try been one either. What?
Did you try one?
Yeah, and I was like kind of loaded when I tried it, and I still didn't like it. So if you don't like it when you're loaded, like, that means you really wouldn't like it when you're sober.
I got a follow up to this. Okay. I'm the donair enthusiast here, but I'll take the foot off the gas and the donair talk. Obviously, we have a mutual hospitality partner here in Greta. They serve the Pink Whitney like crazy. You guys do your meet and greets.
That place
there
is amazing.
That's an awesome spot. We do all of our watch parties there. So great, great partnership with those guys. But it, just going back to your time in Edmonton, like, what were some, like, so we've got the nightlife spot covered. What were some of like the go-to food spots for you when you're in Edmonton?
Oh, we were constantly at the Cactus Club over at the West Ed Mall. There wasn't the one on, what street's the Jasper? The one that wasn't there yet. So we were always driving out to the mall, going there. I mean, I just was sticking to that because of the Bellini and the beers. I always put Bellini in the beer. I think it was like a Land Shark beer or something like that. I don't remember, but that was my spot. And, you know, they got the millionaire's cut. Mike Comrie used to call it the billionaire's cut because he was so rich. So there was a bunch of guys that loved hanging out there. But honest to God, those teams were so bad. And I had a couple instances of eating dinner and people chirping me. It was a lot of like, hey, guys, let's order food and just hang at somebody's house, right? Like, you know, the team's horrible. We might catch a little bit of heat. We're losing constantly. I'm not dying to go out and get chirped at a bar. So there was some nightlife and there was some excitement, but there was a lot of meals at home, playing darts, playing pool, and just kind of drinking away our sorrows a little bit. Not going to lie.
It was a decade of darkness for all of us.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's a new era. Now we're drinking for good reasons. The drinking hasn't slowed down. It just feels better.
Exactly. Thank you enough for doing this, man. It was really fun getting to have you on the show. And let's go Oilers.
Oh, let's go Oilers, guys. I really appreciate it. I apologize once again for what I did. I made an enormous mistake. We did that body armor commercial with McDavid. I was kind of open and honest there and what happened. And Western Conference Finals, I'm there. Cup Finals, I'm there. We got to get there for me to get back out to E-Town and really kind of take in what I got to experience in that Western Conference Final. I never got to be a part of a playoff game there. I was blown away by the energy in the city and that arena when they came out for game three and McDavid scored about 30 seconds in, and then Kane took that foolish penalty on Kadri and ruined it all. But in the end, I want to get back and I hope I'll be back there. So thanks for having me on and let's do it again.
When you get back, Toots is a mutual friend, so I'm going to grease my way into the golf match.
Half wall. All right, guys.
See you, Whit.
See ya.
Maybe we'll see Whit at Greta this spring. I feel like maybe we can make those plans.
That's always great. It's such a great partnership. I'm sure Casey's happy to hear me make that connection, but
love that. Love that. All right, there you go. Ryan Whitney, Spittin' Chicklets, former Oiler. You love him. He's back on the bandwagon. Really appreciate him giving us some time on the Star Mechanical Guest Line, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. Let's move along.
Tyler Mulek, thank you for asking that question. I was thinking about it the whole time.
Great question.
I need to know my counter question, and we'll maybe, you know, I think hopefully that he comes back another time, is what's the Boston version of a donair? And then I'll shit on it.
Well, I wanted to ask him about the bean pot.
Oh, it's bean pot right now. We're in the midst of it.
Yeah, we're in the middle of bean pot.
Probably oyster.
Probably could have gone a full hour with Whit if we really wanted to.
I think he would have stayed.
He might have. He seemed like
he's just in the zone. Like, he just looks like, well, he's retired now. He's a content guy.
All right. Let's keep cruising along here towards the end of the show and get into the Betway Game Day Betting Challenge. Betway 19 plus, please play responsibly. Giddy up, boys. That second half turnaround I talked about did not go my way. Had McDavid 2+ points and an Oilers win. When he scored that first one, I was on Betway. I was like, perfect. This is cash and the boys are good. Didn't play out that way, but we're all looking for a bounce back here this evening against the Ducks. And are we chasing the juice?
Jay and I are doing it together.
We're doing it together, just presented differently.
+250, 3.5 to 1, whatever way you want to say it.
Because you didn't hit last 3.5. Game, right?
No, I had...
You had empty netter power play goal.
Yeah. Came close.
Came really close.
Got the short-handed goal. Son of a gun. Should count.
So you guys are both taking Corey Perry.
Well, Perry coming back home to the pond.
Playing with Draisaitl.
Like, the recipe there for a Perry goal is just too good to not take advantage of.
I wish the odds were higher. Like, for a guy who...
The book knows.
Yeah, +250.
Revenge goal.
+250 is not there for me. I'm not going to it.
But even yours, like, it's funny. I don't know.
Ours is more likely.
There's a lot going on in your bet, and it's only a little bit more than ours. We need one outcome.
You need three things to line up.
Yeah, but like the money line, gimme. I guess the over and the McDavid goal to get that extra little bit. But
yeah, the money line is gimme. Yeah.
I don't know, it might be
6-0.
I don't know if Pickard's got a shutty in him.
Buddy.
The Ducks score a bit.
Pickard's awesome.
Stops a bit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah, that would be contrary. Like
that 2.34 goals against. If he gives up 2, the over's hitting, guys.
That's fair, but
he's not going to give up 2. Look at that. Those are great numbers for a backup goalie.
Yeah, they're tremendous.
I'd be happy if that was our starter.
26 shots a game.
The return and the second act, the Calvin Pickard's career as an Oiler has been fantastic. And he already has a shutout.
He does. You're correct on that. All right. I still like the over tonight. There you go. The game day betting challenge for our friends over at Betway. I promised you all a listener submitted trade proposal for our friends at Service Credit Union. The trades we debate are fake, but you know what is not fake? The money you can win from Service and the Service Big Share Contest. It's back for a 6th year with your chance to win $1 million. Anyone can enter by becoming a member and saving with Service. Every $500 you save gives you 5 entries into the Service Big Share Contest. You can even transfer your existing savings to Service for a chance to win $1 million. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. Sergeant Battle had our trade proposal. He wants the Oilers to link up with the Nashville Predators. He said Fabro with money retained and Colton Sissons for some bottom six help in exchange.
Pillaging Nashville for the defensive depth.
In exchange for CeCe Borgo, a first, a third, and a sixth. So a lot going on there to make the money work. Fabro sits at 2.5. So if he's 50% retained, you end up coming out to about $4 million for those two players. Sissons has two more years left on his deal, can play center or the right side. I'll be honest though, that's a lot to give up for not a lot of improvement.
Well, especially if you know if Tanev's a second. Like you got to be in on that all day first. Like that, I guess this is if you don't get Tanev situation.
But I don't think Fabro's that much better than Fabro's not the guy for me. I'm not trusting him in the top four.
That's fair. It there's a little bit of unknown there. But I like this Sergeant Battle. I like the creativity because this is coming. Like this is looked at different. Like I haven't seen anything like this yet. So I like the creativity on this.
Yeah,
I'm out.
And for that reason, I'm out.
But if Vinny works on your top four.
Oh, dude.
Your top four, even if it becomes like him and Nurse are your second pairing, mm-hmm. and then CeCe's on your third, then maybe having a guy like Fabro isn't so bad on your third pairing. Like, I don't know a lot about him, but I can see like someone like that. I don't think it's out of the question, but if this is the idea is to replace CeCe on your top pairing with Fabro, then I'm out.
You have to think they're doing these defensive pair tests because they're thinking about trading CeCe. Like,
yeah,
you have to think that. They have to see if Vinny can play up there.
And maybe that's why Knobloch was non-committal to it because he was told to try it out.
GM's forcing the issue.
Yeah.
I wonder if even too, like,
getting Billy Beaned.
Maybe they won't bring in another defenseman if they traded CeCe.
No.
Like, maybe this is like, we're going to bring up Broberg and then that's going to be...
But then you need a depth piece.
They would need a depth piece. Yeah, sure. Someone like Fabro. But like, I wonder if like, we need more help in our forward group and trading CeCe is the best way we can do that.
And then you're going second line piece, like strong third line piece.
Yeah, something like that.
So a Dowd to Foley.
I don't love that.
I don't love it either, but that's
I'm going through your logic pattern here.
There's a couple of guys on Nashville, though, that are like way more than Colton Sissons.
Novechkin, Tommy Novak.
Yes, please.
Give me like, Novak.
Jovek Trenin, not a bad player, too. His contract's kind of cheap. He's a UFA at the end of the year. Like
big body.
Some guys on there, like, I don't mind. I don't know if I would like to invest in a Colton Sissons when you could also just go and get a Scott Laughton.
You know? I like Laughton a lot, and there are rumblings about Laughton now.
He's only $100,000 more a year, which I know money is basically everything for this team.
What's
right
his
now,
contract number?
$3 million for two more years.
Yeah.
This year and two more. That's your guy, man. That's your guy. I'm Laughton and Tanev, and this is an unbelievable deadline.
He's a center?
Yeah.
Yeah, Laughton would be nice.
But then
he's what you
need retention. Well, you need so now you need to take on $7.5 million of players. So Steve has to go and you have to get retention.
You can get Tanev.
You could just do Dowd Tanev.
But
get move out CC 50% retained on Tanev. You gain a little bit of flexibility there. Janmark buried. You kind of start to draw a map about how you can get to that $3 million.
What is Tanev exactly?
4.5. So if they keep half and he's 2.2, you save a mil by going from CC to Tanev. Assets. Assets are a big thing in that. But
and we have 2.3 million cast space. So you can take the full Dowd.
You can get Laughton. You won't need the million for anything, Jay.
For a depth defenseman, or maybe there's some amazing fourth line addition.
I don't think you need that million. If you get Laughton and Tanev, you're done. You don't have assets to give up at that point for anything else.
Another thing too, you're saying they could get an amazing fourth line addition that would probably push Holloway down to your fourth line, which could be, I hate to say the phrase, your deadline addition to your fourth line.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I can't see them getting long.
Or maybe you try to make two third lines. Like, that's kind of what, like, Vegas had. Like, they rolled four lines. If you can have two third lines.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? So, like, that's what wins championships, man. It's that bottom six, like, formula.
See, we've spoke a lot. Just upgrading on.
We talk a lot.
Yeah, Janmark and Brown. And like, I get it. They're not scoring. And like, trust me, like, if you can upgrade those guys, you definitely should. But in the playoffs, those guys are actually going to be pretty useful on the penalty kill as well. Like,
that's it's very valuable. You don't want to mess that up too much either, because it's been elite. And that, like, that in the playoffs, if your penalty kill can perform like it does right now, like,
oh, you're going a long way with
that. Is real comfortable.
All right, we got to move towards the end of the show because it's already 101. We got to wrap with the menu for our friends at DoorDash. 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. New episode of Oilers Nation Radio dropping this afternoon. Giddy up. New edition of The Notebook with Aaron, Zach, and Coomzee as well. So Aaron's got that. Pre and post game, AB and I live with pre-gaming at 7 o'clock tonight to get set for Edmonton versus Anaheim. Tomorrow we'll be live 7 o'clock for Edmonton, LA. So a double dose of pre- and post-game content for you this weekend.
Big sports weekend. Two Oilers games and the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to hang out with me all weekend.
A lot of betting.
Super Bowl picks?
A whole lot of betting.
Super Bowl picks?
Chiefs.
I'm probably going Chiefs too, but I'm not betting on it. I'm going props. We want nothing but
over
prop.
Over on the anthem.
Wah, wah. I always go over on the anthem. It very rarely hits.
It's an electric one.
I went under last year. Hit just under.
Gatorade color?
Blue.
I do. Like, there's a sheet that you can find that's like 25 prop bets.
Yeah.
And we always do that at our Super Bowl party. Everyone puts in $10.
Maybe tie for pregame and we'll have some props tomorrow.
Yeah,
we'll have some props.
Did you also see the thing? I'm not sure what how long it's been, but no team from the West Coast has traveled. What is it? Something like no team on the West Coast has won on the West Coast or something like that in however many years.
Where was it when LA won?
Wasn't it SoFi?
I thought it was that they won on when it
was. Maybe it was the other way around.
Didn't they win at SoFi?
Sorry, I got it the wrong way around. No team coming from the East has won on the West.
Ah, yeah. Interesting. But they're sort of, Kansas City's sort of more Midwest.
Midwest, I believe they call it.
Mm-hmm. The Middle East. No, Middle West.
Middle West. Middle East is a little bit further.
It's so funny. If you look like it is on the eastern side of the United States.
Like Nashville, too.
Yeah.
Nashville, when the first time I went to Nashville
almost on the water.
I never looked it up on a map until I was like on the plane looking at the map, and I'm like, whoa, we're going all the way there.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I went there and did the same
thing. I thought Nashville was Texas. Like, or closer to Texas.
Yeah. United States, crazy little place.
I thought Nashville was Texas.
Well, like closer to Texas. You know what I mean? Jeez. All right. Big shout out to Ryan Whitney. That was great. Someone said bring him back every week. Would love to. That'd be unbelievable.
I think we're going to try to bring him back as much as we can.
Much as humanly possible.
So that might be never. And that might be once a month. That might be every episode. Who knows?
So favorite this episode.
Yeah.
Just reload it once a month.
All right. That's a wrap on today's edition of the show from the Sports Closet Studio. Have a great weekend, everybody. Two game days. We'll chat with you Monday.
Thank you for watching Oilers Nation every day. Hit the subscribe button to never miss a show. And for more, visit OilersNation.com.